Item one is a rezoning for 124 Harrow Street under file DAZ 202 of 2009. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing and the following item will also be heard at the same time. Item two, a conditional use for 124 Harrow Street under file DCU 108005-2009-D.
Okay, first I'm going to call the applicant forward, Armel St. Martin. If you could come to the microphone. And I just would like to let people know in each of these hearings, if we're going to be using the clock, you have 10 minutes to make your presentation, and then there can be questions after that. So you have up to 10 minutes where you're not you don't have to use the whole 10 minutes. And also, if you could try to not repeat information that's been said over and over, if you can bring new information. It's going to be a long evening for a lot of people. But everybody has the opportunity to speak. And so I just wanted to emphasize that we have a clock up there. We'll set for 10 minutes, but you do not need to use the whole 10 minutes. Thank you very much.
So,
thank you. Go ahead.
Summary of my application. My first application was to rezone my property R2, and the second application is for conditional use for a third unit. And I'm just going to review very quickly what the reasons of my applications. And those application is to officialize a long-standing use of 124 Harrow being a duplex with the carriage house as a third suite. And the reason for the application are, in fact, based on a long story of more than 70 years of 124 Harrow being a duplex and the third dwelling as a third, the third dwelling as the carriage house. So it's just to make official the current use and the past use of 124 Harrow. And also, I just want to emphasize two points of in my presentation that I did not mention the first time when we have this first hearing. The first thing that I want to emphasize is the fact that the city planner support the project, and also the city planner has put very restrictive conditions on the application just to make sure to ensure that the present and past use of 124 Harrow remained unchanged. And the second point I want to emphasize is also the support that I've gained from seven different houses that are surrounding 124 Harrow, and all of them are within 100 feet from 124 Harrow. And thank you.
Okay. Are there any questions, Councillor Orlico? Any questions? Not at this time. Okay. You will have an opportunity to come back and speak in rebuttal after we hear those in opposition.
Yes. Thank you.
Is there anybody else who wishes to speak in support of this item whose name has not been called? Okay, you may have a seat. Thank you. Now I'm going to call. When I call your name, just let me know if you wish to speak or simply be recorded in opposition. If you'd like to speak, when I call your name, come down to the microphone. Frederick Allen, record in opposition. Tom Frain, thank you. Mark Mancini, thank you. Heather Clark, thank you. Gloria Mancini, thank you. Keith Erickson, okay, please come down.
coming down. It's a long way down.
Pictures, check up mayors.
Councillors.
Thank you.
My name is Keith Erickson. This is the second time I've had the opportunity to speak, and I appreciate it. I will attempt to make my comments brief and not reiterate too greatly what I had said previously. The thrust of the argument that I wish to bring now, and I think I speak for a variety of people in the Crescentwood area, is that this application was not brought with clean hands. By that, I wish to state that at the initial stages, there was representations by the applicant who essentially said the neighborhood is in favor of this. The neighborhood is in favor of a multi-use family dwelling. By the applicant's own admission and by the evidence that came out through the applicant and others, we now know that what is happening there is not a duplex, not anything of the sort. We have essentially a rooming house. And by essentially a rooming house, I can state that I've looked at the City of Winnipeg Act, corresponding bylaws, and all the enacting statutes. What is clear to me is we have a residence that has been divided and subdivided into separate rooms. Those rooms effectively amount to a rooming house that is occurring and actively continues to occur at 124 Harrow. We also heard evidence last time that the applicant said neighbors were in favor of this. She specifically mentioned the Mancini family, who is directly across the street. Now, the Mancini family is here today. Mr. Mark Mancini is present and expressed a desire to articulate this more fully, but I think was unaware of the process. And we may want to ask him once again if he wishes to speak, because my understanding is he does wish to speak. I think he will say at the end of the day, if he is given the opportunity, that he was not in favor, even though he was quoted as being in favor. Now, we heard last time that there were four houses that were essentially in favor of the application. Now we hear about seven. I haven't seen any documentation noting these other three houses, nor have we heard an articulation of any names of what these three are. And candidly, and with the greatest of respect, I don't know how we can put any legitimacy on what has been said by the applicant in this specific situation where she has not been forthright with this committee in the past, and I would suggest to you, continues to not be forthright with this committee in the past. At the end of the day, what the applicant is asking is that you trust her, even though she has not been forthright with this committee, and expand her ability to rent out a space which has never had the legal authority to be rented out. I would suggest to you it's not appropriate. There are overriding concerns here. The Crescentwood area has always been something that tries to avoid rooming houses. It's a historical neighborhood and a unique neighborhood in the City of Winnipeg. To allow an individual such as this to erode that is a slippery slope. There are multiple reasons why we should be against this, not the least of which being the encroachment on the distinct nature of Crescentwood, the ability for condominium complexes, the ability for light rooming houses such as this to move in. All of these things are very important considerations that you should take into account. Those are my comments to you at this time.
Thank you. Are there any questions? No, seeing none.
One final point, if I may.
Yeah,
I promise,
sure.
I'll
go
be
ahead.
Very
yeah.
brief. There was a further report that was supplied to committee seemingly on August 31st when you'll recall we adjourned because we wished to take a look at whether this was in fact a rooming house. I've attempted to get a hold of this report and have not been able to do so. And may wish to make representations on it.
Yes, we received an email, which I can share with you, from the zoning officer. Would you like me to?
If you wish to make this the record.
Yeah, I've just received this. It says, this is from the zoning officer to Michael Robinson, the planner, and it says, attended the premises on Friday, August 28th at approximately 2:30 p.m. The house is divided into two units, 124A and 124B. The owner of the property, Armel St. Martin, lives in 124B, and the other unit is under one lease agreement with the occupants as living as a family unit. There weren't any locks on separate bedroom doors, no numbers on doors, or any other signs that this might be a rooming house. It is the zoning branch's opinion that this is a duplex and nothing else. So that's the information we've received from the zoning officer.
Okay. And that's very good. Let me just make a few brief comments about that. By Ms. St. Martin's own evidence last time, she's renting out rooms. We also have the evidence of her renting out rooms that we've seen online on Kijiji. So I think, quite candidly, her representations, her assertions last time, should be the most important piece of evidence. I also ask you to consider that locks on doors really have no relevance whatsoever. I've had the opportunity to read a decision of the Court of Queen's Bench in this province, which I think is binding, which has nothing to do with locks on doors. A rooming house is defined as a house, much as Ms. St. Martin's is, with multiple residences, essentially rooms rented out to specific individuals. So those are my comments to you. Thank you for your
hearing. Thank you very much. Thank you. Patrick, is it Griffiths? I can't quite read it. Recorded in opposition. Now, is there anybody else? I did ask all the other people I've got a slip for if you wish to speak. Are all of you still wishing to be recorded in opposition, or is anyone else wishing to speak in opposition to this matter at this time? Yes, you are? And you'd like to speak, and you had a slip here earlier. Yes, please come down then. Is there anybody else whose name who had said they didn't want to speak before? Okay, that's fine.
Thank you. I live in the only other home that shares the postal code with the property being talked about today. Both houses are on double lots. So between us, there's a fair amount of property and these two homes. We've lived for 16 years in our home. That house has always been duplexed since we've been there. My understanding is that it's been duplexed for about 40 years, not 70. With that, there seems to have been a significant difference of actions at the home over the years. When we first moved in, it was very quiet. Then the owner left and was an absentee landlord, and it was awful. Then Ms. Armel bought the property, or Ms. Martin, I'm not quite sure what her last name is, and it quieted down again. But there seems to be an awful lot of traffic in terms of cars and things like that at this home. And if there really only is two people living here, either they're car collectors, they have an awful lot of friends, or something's a little amiss. I also heard from a number of neighbors who were quite surprised that we were in support of this project at the last meeting. We are not in support of this project. And I find it distasteful that our name was ever brought up that we were in favor of this. Okay? I think the whole idea of leaving it as it has been, I don't have a real problem with that. The idea of formalizing a zoning change so that the area has now more registered multifamily homes and things like that, I think is a really bad idea. We happen to own the only empty lot in Crescentwood. It's right across the street. So if this opens up, does that mean that I can put a condominium development on that corner? And then from their point, do I knock the house down and enlarge the condominium development? Where does it stop? I didn't buy the house so that we would be living in that type of environment. I know there's a number of people here a little further west tonight that aren't real thrilled about another condominium development, but we're trying to stop that before it even starts. And that's just where it is. And I've talked to both of your offices, and I just find it's a very, very dangerous thing. And from some of the information that I've heard and the information that I was able to get online from the city from the last meeting, there definitely seems to be inconsistencies in what I'm hearing. Just tonight, this property has not been duplex for 70 years. And I know that because the person who owned our home beforehand was there for 32 years and watched them duplex it. So within the last 50 years, it was duplexed, not 70.1. I'd like to know where within 100 feet of that house there is seven neighbors. The fact that our home, which is across the street, would easily be 200 feet away. I'm wondering where these houses are within 100 feet. So there, it begs some questions and certainly some further understanding of the full explanation of the owner's questions, comments, whatever. So, and if at anything at the end of this, we'd really like to know how the car collection is going to be dealt with. Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Any questions? No. Okay, thank you. Is there anybody else who wishes to speak in opposition to this matter? Okay. Ms. St. Martin, if you wish to come back up here. Yeah. And you can respond to anything that's been said here by the people in opposition, not new information, but anything that's in response to what's been said by those in opposition.
I would like to respond to the first person who spoke against the application, who said that the application was not brought with clean hands. And I'm sorry that the discussion is getting at this level, but I have to respond, I'm sorry, at this level also. This person was keeping saying that this house was a rooming house, and I want to make sure that that everyone understands that the house was inspected by a zoning officer, and it is not a rooming house. I showed the place. There's a person living there as a family. There's three person living there as a family. There is no doubt that is I have separate tenancy agreement with the different person. It's just one tenancy agreement with those person, and I'm not collecting rent from a different person, but from those person as one unit. They give me 12 post-dated check for the full year. And all this, this is what I've told the zoning officer, and it was backed up by what he had seen in the house. So the statement of this person who spoke in opposition saying that it wasn't brought with clean hands, I think that it's that person itself that was not speaking with clean hands. The second thing, I never ever mentioned the Mancini family at the first meeting. I brought as evidence all the signature that I've collected. They were from 180 Kingsway, Robert and Audrey van der Water. They're just facing my house from the back lane. So they're about, I can speak in meters, so it will be more accurate for me. They're about 30 meters, not 30, even 15 meters from my house, facing on the other back lane. The second person who supported is Susan and John Tolley, 172 Kingsway. They're also facing my house on Kingsway from the other side. They're also about 15 meters away from the house. Third person was Mrs. Ross, who's 104 Harrow. They're facing the house on the other side of Harrow, 30 meters from my house, less than 30 meters. The Gibson family, they are 127 Harrow, and they're facing the Mancini family. They're the closest one also on Harrow, on the other side at Harrow and Harvard. And also I have two other families, one from 118 Harvard, Mr. Colina, and is just beside the Gibson family. So let's put that to 20 meters from there, which made about 50 meters from my house. The last person that has signed was Mr. Jones, Port Jones, 112 Harvard. They're also the next neighbor on Harvard. So I can say all of them also maybe 10 more meters, so 60 meters from my house, and all of them has a view on this house. They, even if they're on Harvard, they have a view on the house. And Mr. Mancini, so I never ever mentioned Mr. Mancini at the previous meeting, and it was a document that has I circulate, so all the names are there, and there's no mention of them. And if I count the number of person that was on support of them, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Gibson family, 7, and 8. I said 7, but there were 8 names on person, neighbors that are very close and that know my house very well because they're a close neighbor. Second thing and last thing, I'm sorry it's taking so long, but I think that the argument that was brought here, I'm sorry to take time to do that, but this is them who decided to brought those things that I don't call, in fact, facts. They said that there's a lot of traffic. Mr. Mancini is on Harrow. It doesn't have a view at all on my back lane. So I don't understand why, if he can say that there's a lot of traffic, it's not in the back lane. There's car park. There's never been more than 5 car park outside of this house. And given the fact that it's a huge house, I have also my car that sometimes it parked. My dad came at least 3 or 4 times a year, park his car on the back lane, plus my car, 2 cars, plus also the cars of the tenant. So it seems that it's been a lot of car, but it is not, cars of, I don't know who there, it's the cars of the myself and the tenants of the house. So this is all I want to, one last thing, and this is important, is also the rezoning that I could, I'm enjoying to reply to this this argument because it's something important. I have mentioned that the city planner has put a very restrictive condition on the rezoning to make sure that it doesn't open the door to other rezoning of the house, of the in-houses in Crescent Wood. It's very, very restrictive, and also it takes in consideration the very unique situation of the house that is unique, absolutely unique in Crescent Wood. And it is, I said that it was 70 years that the house was duplexed. This is data that I've gained from the archives, the Winnipeg City Archives, that dated exactly when the permit was issued, and it's in absolutely in accordance to what the city planner and also the zoning officers has found themselves. So I just want to make sure that the council understand that the city planner has support this application, giving the unique specificity of 124 Harrow, that there's no other house that are like that in Crescent Wood, giving the history of use of the house, the size of the house, and also the conditions that he has put on my application. So I think that giving those all that you should support my applications. Thank you.
Thank you very much.